Hey, it's Tony and Melissa. Thanks so much for listening to our podcast.
Here are some of the best parts from today's show. Hope you'll subscribe, share, and like us.
With us here on the line is Mayor Joe Ganim. Hey, Mayor, what's up, man?
Hey, good. You guys don't sound angry.
No, we're not angry.
No, we're thrilled. We weren't expecting to have you today, so
yeah,
we're happy.
Very happy to have you here, Mayor. How's it going?
Good, good. I didn't know where I was going to physically be and whether I was going to, so much easier to get on the phone, but... at the last day of the special session, of the session, in Hartford is always special. So I wanted to make sure I was available for our legislative delegation on anything that's important. And yes, I'm glad to be here. And let's touch base on whatever, topic of the day is and have our morning chat.
Well, first question, there was an attempted child abduction last week in Bridgeport, a very, very scary thing as the child was either getting on the bus or getting off the bus for school. Where do we stand on that case? Is there any new revelations?
No, I don't have any new revelations. I can check in with the police department. I always know those are always sensitive issues. And you know, it's always interesting, terribly concerning. But sometimes these are related with individuals. Sometimes they can be, the most terrible either way. No, I don't have any update on that, but we can get that for you. If I can't give it the information, we can get it to you so you can put it out as part of some information, maybe in the news cycle.
Okay. It's just very important to make sure that moms and dads, sisters, brothers, cousins, uncles, aunts, whatever, keep an eye on the kids. You know, never lose sight of that. That's for sure, because it could happen in a second.
Priority.
Top priority. You're right.
Yeah, absolutely. And, of course, we have Bridgeport Mayor Joe Ganim on. A surprise this morning. We were excited to hear from you only because we were initially going to be talking to Scott Appleby, the director of the Office of Emergency Management and Homeland Security. He's now going to come on tomorrow morning at 9:30, but I'm glad to hear from you, Mayor, only because this morning one of our top stories, I'm hoping you can kind of shed light on this, of course, because I'm sure a lot of it is misunderstandings, but it seems like there's some tension right now regarding the casino deal and if it's going to happen here in Bridgeport. But it sounds like the initial deal that was coming from MGM Resorts International, they were looking to build this casino here in Bridgeport, but it meant also bringing an employee training facility to New Haven. This was a report I was reading this morning. What's happening there? Is New Haven being cut out? Where are we at with the casinos? It's kind of a big umbrella question, but what can you tell us? Where are we at with casinos?
Sure. So if anything's going to happen on that front, it would be out of Hartford, possibly, as legislators kind of take a good look at an opportunity. It seems to be more discussion now about the existing Indian tribes who have, the relationship with the state of Connecticut, possibly creating an opportunity for jobs in a resort casino in Bridgeport. There's a lot of talk about that going on right now. New Haven's been an integral part of urban issues, job creation, the whole concept of maybe this could create jobs for not just for Bridgeport in the region, but for this part of the state. And, in a way, strong partners, of course. And the mayor of New Haven's been out front, leadership there. So if something moves forward, I know that everyone's going to work together to make sure that both cities, the state is entirety, cities and towns are all kind of, I don't want to say taken care of, but certainly have a part of and benefit from whatever happens. So I'm going to leave that up to the legislators. I'll work with the mayor's office in New Haven, as we have in such a great way, to make sure that whatever's kind of come out in comments as information comes out is addressed. So anybody from New Haven who's standing up for New Haven should be doing that, and I respect that. And same thing for all of our cities and towns. We're going to work together with them. We want to make that happen and make good things happen if we're able to get this for Bridgeport, for New Haven, and for the entire state.
Bridgeport Mayor Joe Ganim is on the line with us. And Joe, you had mentioned before that obviously we're down to just hours really at this point, the legislative session coming to a close. What involvement do you have in obviously any Bridgeport matters, and what can you tell anyone regarding kind of the last day of the session? What can we kind of look forward to?
Well, I think what's good is they passed the budget. This was, people didn't make as much of a big deal out of it, but it's a big deal. They passed the state budget. It funds to an extent what we need in cities and towns. We'd always love more, especially for education. That didn't happen, although we did get more money. So I want to thank our Bridgeport legislative delegation, leadership, and the governor up there for, in a tough year, helping as best as can be done in a tough situation with a state budget. On the other end of it is we're pushing to get legislation that will help us kind of smooth out some of our city pension obligations, and our legislative delegation has been tremendous on that, as has leadership and the governor and all the state office holders. So, you know, kind of the quieter things that don't probably make the news as much are happening up there that are helping us. We passed our budget and we're able to kind of hold the line, even cut taxes a little bit, support some of the job entities that are going on. And by the way, I don't mean to segue off, but I was over at the Steel Point new restaurant. I don't know if you had a chance to get out there, but it's a real positive sign of what's happening in Bridgeport with the new Oyster Bar in Steel Point that's been talked about for so long.
No, and that is exciting, because I think it was when we first had you on the show, maybe the first or second week we had you on, I think we talked about Steel Point, because a lot of people wondering sort of where that was at. And I think, Tony, you and I are supposed to go there. Aren't we supposed to have lunch with the mayor there? Isn't that something we're supposed to do soon?
There. We did bagels. That was breakfast. Then we do lunch. You know, that's a great place to do it. And then we'll be at the outdoor amphitheater, one of our events together, too.
All right.
Wow.
Sounds
excited.
Good. Hey, Mayor Ganim, we've run out of time. We know you're very, very busy, but hopefully we'll talk to you next Wednesday.
Thanks so much.
All right, my friend. Mayor Joe Ganim here on WACC 600. Tony and Melissa in the morning. Melissa with Community Inspiration.
All right. Yeah. No, it's also June, which I always forget every month. It's hard to keep track of what every month stands for. But June, obviously, a big month for Alzheimer's awareness. And we found that there's a group in Fairfield going beyond the call to make sure that they are not only helping, obviously, people every day in their jobs, but they're taking extra time out to make sure that they are raising awareness and funds for Alzheimer's patients. And I thought this was really neat and definitely worth this week's community inspiration. We have Lieutenant Bob Smith with the Fairfield Fire Department on the line with us for this week's community inspiration. Thanks for being with us, Lieutenant.
My pleasure.
Recently, I saw on social media that the Fairfield Firefighters Association and all the departments in Fairfield are teaming up and wearing purple. Talk to us about that. What is the goal here?
We've been working with the Alzheimer's Association of Connecticut, their Connecticut chapter, and June has been designated Alzheimer's and Brain Awareness Month. So at the fire department, we're lucky enough to be able to help kick off that whole month of June the other day at fire headquarters, where our guys all donned purple shirts, and we had a little kickoff ceremony, posting some stuff on social media to help our friends from the Alzheimer's Association get the word out that June is a busy month for them for awareness.
And it's no surprise to anybody. Firefighters obviously are known for saving people's lives, keeping us safe, obviously, on the day-to-day basis, even if it's not a fire. There are simple things that you guys do throughout the day, and then obviously very complicated things that you have to cover. Why does the fire departments and the association, why do you guys then take the extra step and try to help with local charities or foundations, things like that? Why make the effort to do that when you're already doing so much?
We're in a community every day, Melissa, as you know, and a lot of times when we respond to calls, we see people at their worst, we see people at their best, but we also see folks that are just starting to deal with memory loss and Alzheimer's. You see some of the conditions, the hoarding conditions that are starting to accumulate around the house. So working with the Alzheimer's Association, we're able to maybe take care of those people a little bit better and get them some of the resources that are available through Alzheimer's Association to help the families deal with the beginnings of memory loss and get those resources out to the folks so they can deal with it better.
So it's fair to say that this is actually something that touches the fire department and the association pretty directly.
Pretty much every day. When we're out on the scene or out on the road dealing with calls, you know, as I said, the families are just starting to deal with a lot of things and they don't know how to cope with it. You know, mom or dad's starting to forget things. They can't find their keys and things are starting to change around the house a little bit. They're hoarding a little bit more. You know, maybe they're forgetting where things are. We can see it and we're able to point them in the right directions to get some resources so they can help mom and dad or whoever it is and make life a little easier.
Lieutenant Bob Smith with the Fairfield Fire Department. What is the message that you're trying to get out there to people when it comes to Alzheimer's and bringing awareness and raising funds for it?
There's about 78,000 people in Connecticut alone that are suffering from Alzheimer's and also memory loss type disease, and there's 178,000 caregivers. So, you know, the folks at Alzheimer's are trying to make them aware of the different resources that are available to them so they can help them cope with that. And every 65 seconds, another person is, you know, diagnosed with Alzheimer's. So it's something that's very serious, and we wanted to help them get the word out. The more people that know, the more people that can help.
We were getting really into that story, and we were starting to look at some of the statistics with Alzheimer's. It's amazing, Tony, how many families just here in Connecticut, not even nationwide, are touched by Alzheimer's. It really is such a debilitating, I feel like, disease. And it really touches, like we were talking about, not just the person who has it, but really the family. Tony and I were just looking at some statistics, and it seems like a lot of times the family, they almost suffer more. I mean, you know what I mean? They're the ones who are very aware of what's going on, and sometimes the patient doesn't even really know that they're going through this a lot of times.
Right. The patient, when it gets to a certain level, after a while, they don't even know what's going on, and it can be very debilitating for the family. Like you said, it gets to a point where if they live long enough, it gets to the point where they completely forget who you are.
Yeah, exactly. You know? And I think that the process, too, goes from being where you're constantly trying to stay positive, and then it gets to a point where you become heartbroken over the fact that it's not just forgetting everyday things or, oh, maybe I missed this when I was cooking this. It becomes where they forget short-term memory things. I know we have somebody in our family who has dementia, and just watching her forget things, every time that she comes to visit, she will mention the same thing about our son. And my husband, like, will kind of, you know, will sort of, his heart sort of breaks for a second, because he thinks, well, we talk about this every time that you come and you see my son. And, you know, she sees him very often. But it's harder in the beginning. I feel like it gets harder by the end, really. In the beginning, you sort of are dealing with it and you're figuring it out and you're working through it with them. But then when they start to really forget big things, it becomes really heartbreaking for the family.
My wife had an uncle who went downhill really quickly. It was almost like one day everything was fine, and then the next day he was completely
just drastic.
It was drastic, you know. And the funny thing about it is that he would forget things. He would be sitting in a chair, and he would see things. He'd be yelling at a guy. There'd be a guy that wasn't there in the room.
He'd
be yelling, telling him to get out. And I remember walking into the room, and I says, "Hey, Nick, what's all the yelling going about?" He remembered me. He goes, "Oh, Tony, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to make such a ruckus." He says, "But you got to tell these two guys to get out of the room. I can't sit here with them." I said, "And here's me. You don't know what to say, but Nick, they're doing a little work over here. When they're done, they'll leave. Don't worry. Don't worry. They're not going to hurt you or anything like that." All right. And the funny thing was, couldn't remember what happened 10 minutes before.
Right.
But he could tell you stories about 1946.
Well, that's just it. You know? It's the same thing. Like I said, this family member that we have, every single time, it's become kind of, and I don't want to make it sound insensitive, it's almost become sort of comical, because every time she walks in the door, she asks if our son is going to be a redhead. And it's every single time. It's immediate. You know, she comes in, "Oh, Chase is so cute. Is he going to be a redhead?" And my husband and I look at each other and we think, probably at this point, he probably is. And you know, and we change the answer every time, you know, "Yeah, maybe. Yeah, maybe he'll be a blonde. Maybe, you know, who knows?"
Yeah.
But there are things that, you know, she can recall her father building their home. Right. And I mean, it's incredible. She just remembers amazing things, and we'll walk through her home and there are trinkets, and she's like, "Oh yeah, this was when I was a nurse, you know, 60 years ago." Yeah, and she can remember the patient who gave it to her and the name and what town they were from. It's incredible. The long-term memory is not the problem. It's the here and now that is so scary, and it's sad. It's very sad to watch people go through that.
All right. That's community inspiration for this week here on WACC 600. 63 years ago today, 1956, Elvis Presley went on the Milton Berle Show, and, well, he made some moves on camera that were questionable, and it caused so much controversy that from that day on, cameras would only shoot him from the waist up. My God, how times have changed. Also on this date, 19 years ago in 2000, Baltimore Ravens linebacker Ray Lewis pleaded guilty to a misdemeanor in order to drop murder charges in the stabbing deaths of two men at an Atlantic Super Bowl party. He retired in 2013. Also, a terrible thing happened on this date. 51 years ago in 1968, the great Robert F. Kennedy was shot at the Ambassador Hotel in Los Angeles just after winning the Democratic primary. He died the next day. Former NFL superstar Rosie Greer, he was working as a bodyguard for Kennedy, and he helped take down his assassin, Sirhan Sirhan. It was such a turbulent time in those days. I remember it very, very well. I was 7 years old. I remember watching it on the news. And I remember getting scared, saying to my dad, what the heck is going on here? And he was like, it's okay. It's nothing for you to worry about. I says, yeah, but it seems like a terrible thing. And he says, it is. It is a terrible thing. And the country, I don't think, was ever really the same. I mean, Robert Kennedy was the last great hope at that point, anyway, in 1968. Anybody here see my old friend Bob? Can you tell me where he's gone? I thought I saw him walking up over here. Abraham, Martin, and WACC 600, a tragic loss in our country 51 years ago today with the assassination of Robert F. Kennedy. The Kennedys, they've gone through so much tragedy in their lives. Do you realize that the mother and the father, Rose and Joe, they lost how many children that died before they did? You had Joe, you had John, you had Kathleen, you had Robert. They all passed away long before the parents did. They had one child that I don't know exactly what she had. Rosemary had something going on, some kind of mental illness. The father was very embarrassed by it, and he took her to a doctor who performed a lobotomy. And she was worse than ever. She lived in a institution for all of her life, from the time she was like 26 years old until she passed away just a couple of years ago, somewhere in her 80s. She was like 88, 89, something like that. So much. Then you look into the next generation. John F. Kennedy in a junior. John F. Kennedy Jr. in a terrible plane crash. I mean, the list just goes on and on and on. It just didn't start with Bobby, that's for sure. And don't even talk about Ted, some of the things that he did in the course of his lifetime as well. Unbelievable stuff. We've got 611 now here at WACC 600. Good morning.
It's a battle of the Toms. Apparently, New England Patriots quarterback and Super Bowl champion Tom Brady is stepping on the toes of many Mets fans. You may have heard of the nickname Tom Terrific. It's pretty well known, actually, for decades now, but in the past it was never referring to Brady, rather Tom Seaver, who's the Hall of Fame pitcher and winner of 198 games over 12 seasons with the New York Mets. Recently, Brady sent in a trademark application for the nickname, which of course has long been associated with Seaver, and even some Yankee fans this morning have been weighing in saying this is offensive, you can't even compare the two, Brady needs to find a new nickname. Well, of course, Pats fans are firing back on social media saying, quote, six Super Bowl rings versus one World Series. It seems like Brady is the true Tom Terrific. So some pretty harsh words this morning, and certainly some controversy. Tony and I are going to discuss that later on in the show, see where everybody stands, and would love to know your opinion on that as well.
Tony and Melissa in the morning on WICC 600, sponsored by Selco Heating and Air Conditioning.
Does Tom Brady, does he deserve the title of Tom Terrific? Now, if you are any kind of a sports fan, you do know that Tom Seaver, who was one of the mainstays in New York sports for 12, 13 years, whatever it was, one of the greatest pitchers of all time, he didn't come up with the nickname of right. Tom Terrific. The fans
did.
Gave him that honor, okay? He didn't say, hey, I'm Tom Terrific, okay? They said, you're Tom Terrific, Tom. And, you know, Tom Seaver, he's a different kind of a guy. He never thought the need to patent the name, copyright it, whatever Tom Brady is doing. But I think that it's wrong. I really, really do. I mean, here's the problem, Melissa. People in general, I'm sorry, and if I'm speaking out of turn, you tell me. People do not respect history, okay? Whether it be sports, whether it be American history,
I agree.
Music, mm-hmm. whatever it is. The problem here is that Tom Seaver's fan base, more or less, they're starting to die off, or it's old guys like me that are in their 60s.
But it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. I don't think it should matter.
Should anybody be called the... I mean, should you look at some of these amazing baseball players and call them the new Bambino? Like, that's not going to happen. You know what I'm saying?
You say it's not going to happen.
No, I'm saying it shouldn't happen. I think that, to me, I mean, again, like you said, if you're a real sports fan... You leave the legacy where it is. You leave it where it is. Even if the fan base goes away, I think what is so telling about this story is the fact that it's not just Mets fans who are reaching out. You also have Yankee fans who are very upset about it. And then they even had fans from all over the country who don't even follow New York sports, but just were saying, you can't... It's I don't know. I find it to be very pompous. I don't see really where Tom Brady has any leg to stand on. I understand that he's the GOAT and all these other things. You can't take away the fact that he is probably the best quarterback we'll see of our time. However, you can't take away somebody else's legacy just because that's dying off.
No, but he should know better.
He should set a better precedent for people.
He should set a better example. Mm-hmm. He should know better. He should sit there and say, hey, you know, thank
be
you very,
modest.
Very much. But Tom Seaver is the real Tom Terrific.
I agree.
Especially right now, what Tom Seaver is going through. He's got dementia. He's retired from public life. Let this man have his legacy. Let him have his thing. He earned it. He worked for it. Brady, he's arrogant. He's egotistical. And he just doesn't care who he steps on. Anything to win. Anything to be number one. Anything to be the guy. And it's not very nice. It's not an attractive thing. Not at all.
It just doesn't set a very good precedence for sports. Because, again, I'm married to a Pats fan. Half of my family's, I would say the in-laws, are Pats fans. And, of course, Connecticut is very torn. We have Pats and Giants fans, of course. So we know, and Jets, of course. So we do have, of course, Pats fans right here in our own backyard. And, again, it's not taking away from Tom Brady. First of all, Tom Brady already has a slew of nicknames. The fact that he's the GOAT, I mean, for a long time, I always thought, okay, the greatest of all time. But okay, fine. Keep that. Why do you need to step on somebody else's toes? Again, to me, you're just looking for trouble. It's like, okay, I'm nearing probably retirement soon, and you know, God forbid I go out and I don't have enough. I'd say, I guess, names or whatever, enough to... I think you've made your stamp on life, Tom Brady. We get it. You're talented. You have 6 Super Bowl rings. No one's taking that away from you. Why are you going to touch somebody who left a stamp on the baseball world? And why are you going to do that? Over a nickname, to me, I think it doesn't make him look good. I think I try to tolerate the Patriots, again, because my husband is a Pats fan, and I try to respect him, and even though I can't really stand the Pats, I try to respect him, but it is hard to sit there and say, yeah, what a decent guy when he does things like try to step on somebody from 50 years ago and is an acclaimed pitcher. I don't know. I have no words for it. I'm not a fan of it, and I think it would be a real shame if he trademarked it. I really do.
Well, from now on, I want to be known as Tony Reno, the Iron Horse. That's what I want to be known as from now on. I don't care whose toes I'm stepping on, and let the Garrick family come after me. I am Tony Reno, the Iron Horse. If Brady can do it, I can do it. All right? There you go.
I have one of them one of my favorites, and this comes from CD number 3. It was entitled Life, and I'll tell you where you can get that if you'd like this read. And this one is called Everything Happens for a Reason. It goes like this. Sometimes people come into your life and you know right away that they were meant to be there, to serve some sort of purpose, to teach you a lesson, to help figure out who you are or who you want to become. You never know who these people may be, but when you lock eyes with them, you know that every moment they will affect your life in some profound way. And sometimes things happen to you at that time that seem horrible, painful, and unfair, but upon reflection, you realize without overcoming those obstacles, you had never realized your potential, strength, or your willpower or heart. Everything happens for a reason. Nothing happens by chance or means of good luck. Illness, injury, love, lost moments of true greatness, and sheer stupidity all occur to test the limits of your soul. Without these small tests, Life would be like a smoothly paved, straight, flat road to nowhere. Safe and comfortable, but dull and utterly pointless. The people you meet affect your life. The successes and downfalls that you experience can create who you are. The bad experiences can be learned from. In fact, they are probably the most poignant and important ones. If someone hurts you, betrays you, breaks your heart, forgive them, because they have helped you learn about trust and the importance of being cautious for whom you open your heart to. If someone loves you, love them back unconditionally, but not only because they love you, but because they're teaching you to love and open your heart and eyes to little things. Make every day count. Appreciate every moment you take from everything that you possibly can, for you may never be able to experience it again. Talk to people you have never talked to before and actually listen. Let yourself fall in love, break free, and set your sights high. Hold your head up because you have every right to. Tell yourself that you are a great individual and believe in yourself. For if you don't believe in yourself, no one else will believe in you. Create your own life and then go out and live it.
Bill, that's exactly what I needed to hear. Thank you so very, very much.
You are welcome.
If people want a copy of that, what do they do?
Okay, you can get it locally. A few spots will have them. You can walk in and buy. They're only $5 per CD, and this is CD number 3. You can go to a Kitchen Corner. That's in Fairfield on Black Rock Turnpike, or Jenny's in Monroe, UK Gourmet in Bethel, or online. You can always order them at wednesdaywisdom.net, and they'll be emailed to you.